aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Before we look at this, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and talk to the Lord. Okay? Father, we thank you for your word which is alive. And although this portion was written thousands of years ago, we thank you for how it applies to us today. We pray, Lord, as we listen to your word, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would understand, and that we would not just be hearers, but doers of your word. These things we pray, thanking you that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we read these verses, we found that the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, had a plan. He wanted to gather a group of young men who were basically all the same. They all fit a certain type of characteristic that he wanted. They were young men who were of royal families, young men who were intelligent, young men who were handsome. You know, back during this time, the Babylonians believed that if a person was handsome or beautiful, that person was also highly intelligent. Now, that goes to show that I'm not very intelligent. But we can thank God that he makes each one of us special, doesn't he? Each one of the boys and girls in the room this morning is special, and each one of us are beautiful in the Lord's sight. But the king had a certain type of person that he was looking for. Now Daniel and his three friends, their names or their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were just one in the crowd. They really weren't all that different than their friends who were also chosen by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now what the king did was to send some of his officials and soldiers to go to Daniel's country. And it was the second time that these soldiers had come, and they took away these young men and made them slaves. Who'd like to be a slave in here? Anyone of you want to be a slave or a prisoner? Yeah. You can imagine that it was a fear, something that Daniel was afraid of. Now at this time, Daniel was somewhere between the age of 12 to 14. Just beginning to become aware of what's happening in life. I think one of the reasons that King Nebuchadnezzar chose Daniel at this age was because he had them at a time that was very critical. They were beginning to question things that were going on, beginning to have ideas of their own. Now, when the king brought these young boys to Babylon, they faced a lot of new things that they had never experienced before. Now, how many of you boys and girls have ever been outside of the United States? How many of you have been in another country? I know you live close to Canada, so probably many of you have gone to Canada. Although when you go to Canada, it doesn't look like a foreign country. Okay? How many have been in a country outside of Canada or the United States? Can you raise your hand? Okay. Now when you go to a foreign country, there are a lot of things that are there that can make life a little difficult. Now, Daniel probably had to learn how to eat new food. We had a real nice meal the other night with Uncle Dave and Aunt Ruth. We had Chinese food. And, you know, Chinese food can really be delicious. But there are some foods that are very different in China that aren't very appealing to us. I remember one time I went to a Chinese wedding, and the appetizer was fried pig brains. How'd you like to eat that? Also on that platter was cow brains. Okay. Those were specialties, things that they liked to eat. And so Daniel probably looked at the food and said, yeah, I don't like that food. He had an adjustment to make. Daniel had to be faced with learning a new language. Now you know when my wife and I and family were in the Philippines when we were first there, we had to go live among a group of people that speak a different language. And we didn't understand their language. They were a group of people who lived in a tribe and they lived very simply. And I remember going up to the large house, they call it, where people gather to do certain things. The chief of the village would hold his council there. They would have their festivities at this place. And I would go up there with a pad and a pencil and try to write down words that I heard people say. Well, sometimes they would be talking and they would begin to laugh and whatnot, and because I didn't understand them, you know what I thought? I thought they were laughing at me. And I felt a little self-conscious. Now, they might have been laughing about some wild pig story that they were telling, or some snake story or something. But I thought they were laughing at me. And so Daniel probably felt insecure, felt very self-conscious in this new country. He had to face the fact that he was given a new name. Now, I know at least one person in this place today whose name is Daniel. Well, he was up here a little while ago. Alright? But how many have the name Daniel, either as a first name or middle name? Okay? Do you know what Daniel means? Well, Daniel has a meaning to it. It is a Hebrew name. Uncle Dave knows what it is. God is my judge. Yeah. Now, every name that these Hebrew boys had has special meaning about their faith in God. They were taught from the time they were very young to believe in one God and one God alone. And that God was a mighty God, a God who would perform miracles. And they knew the history of how God had taken care of them. And it's so important as children that we learn about God. The stories in the Bible teach us many things. Family devotions, coming to Sunday school and church teach us about God. And so Daniel knew a lot. And his name had meaning. God is my judge. But you know what the king did? He said, Daniel, I'm going to give you a new name. Your name is going to be Belteshazzar. Now, Belteshazzar was a name that pertained or pointed to one of the greatest gods in the land of Babylon. You see, in Babylon, they worshipped many gods. They just didn't worship one god like Daniel. They had many gods. And Bel is their number one god. And so the king said, Daniel, I'm going to name you the Prince of Bel. So one might say, boy, what an honor, what a privilege to be named after the greatest god in the land. But you know what the king was trying to do? The king was trying to make Daniel forget the things that he had been taught. To forget his name, that God was watching him, that God was his judge. And for each of the young men got a new name. How many would like to go to China and get a new name? Wow. Your name means a lot to you. That's how people identify with you, is by your name. And so they had a lot of adjustments to make as young men. And so what we want to look at now is how they handled these changes. Now, boys and girls, as you grow up, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to try to change you. They're going to try to make you think differently than what your parents want you to think like. They're going to pressure you into believing things that God is not honored by. Now, how are you power out of us going to stand up through some of these pressures? And so listen real closely as we talk about Daniel. So let's look again at chapter 1 and look at verse 8. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself or to make himself dirty or contaminated with the royal food and wine. Now Daniel was a prisoner. And when he was taken to Babylon, he was given the very best food available. It was from the king's kitchen. Now when Daniel sat down to eat, he realized that all the food was before him, and although nothing was wrong with food, the people had done something with that food. You know, the Babylonians, when they would sit down to eat, they'd take a little bit of the food on their plate and they'd throw it on the ground. And they'd take a little bit of their drink and they would pour it on the ground as an offering to their gods, that while they ate and drank, they would have a nice time, that they'd have a happy time. Has the earth always been happy? No. You know, when you sit around the table, it should be a happy time. A time of finding out what happened during the day, find out what Dad and Mom have been doing. It's a time of fellowship and happiness. But Daniel noticed that these people were trusting in their gods for happiness. And Daniel said, you know, that food has been offered to other gods. Now, what has Daniel been taught? How many gods were there? One God. And God had ordered, had commanded the Jewish people only to worship him. So Daniel said, I'm going to decide in my heart that I will not do that because it will defile me or hurt my relationship with the Lord. I will be disobedient to God if I do that. But you know, we have a problem. Daniel couldn't go down to McDonald's in Shamar. Well, he didn't have any option. He was a prisoner. You see, as Daniel was sitting there at the table and saw what was going on around him, he felt a conviction. And that's a word I'd like you to remember. Let's say that word, conviction. Conviction. Now, conviction means to do what you believe. To live what you know is right. Now, Daniel could have said, hey, guys, Mom and Dad aren't here. I mean, what's wrong with doing what everybody else is doing? I mean, everybody else is doing it. Why bother with what we were taught before? And you know, as we grow up, kids, people are going to question us. They're going to say, well, how come you can't do that? And how come you believe the way you believe? And you need to have an answer. You need to have a conviction. And not just the kids, but the adults. Do we live a life of conviction? Believing or doing what we believe God wants us to do. Now I know many of us are in situations where we're pressured to be a certain way, to be in a certain mode. Many are in the limelight, or some are in the limelight, and people expect things of you. Well, do you follow them in compromising? Or do you stand up with conviction and say, I'm sorry, I don't believe that, or I cannot do that because it is against what God has taught me. So what's that first word about Daniel that describes him? A young boy of conviction. He did what he knew was right. Now, you know, in order to do his way, or in order to obey the Lord, you know, he didn't throw a temper tantrum. Or he didn't go out and have a sit-down demonstration. You know what he did? Here's in that same verse, verse 8, that he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. The second word I'd like for us to remember is respect. Daniel respected the people above him. What's the second word? Respect. Did the official above Daniel believe the same way he did? No. But Daniel still respected him. And so Daniel went to him and said, listen, I want to ask your permission to do something. Now it says in verse 9, now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Somewhere, sometime, Daniel had become friends with this man. He had done the things in obedience probably to what the man had commanded him, and the man liked Daniel because he was a fine, outstanding young man. You know, it didn't work out that when Daniel all of a sudden had his problem, that he decided to call on God and say, God, help me now, I'm gonna fix. What he had done was to show that we could get along. And so when the problem came, that official listened to Daniel. And Daniel said, listen, why don't we try something? For 10 days, why don't we just give my three friends and myself some vegetable, high protein vegetable and water to eat, and then compare us with everybody else at the end of 10 days. Now that official kind of went like this. He goes, hey Daniel, if something happens to you, you know who's going to get in trouble? It's going to be me. The king's going to cut my neck off, my head off, if you guys are different in 10 days. But because of the fact that Daniel respected that man and had shown courtesy to that man, that official listened to him. So how did Daniel know what would happen in 10 days? How many know what's going to happen to you in 10 days? Raise your hand. Some of you might say, well, I'm going on vacation. But how do you know specific things in 10 days? You don't, do you? What did Daniel have to do? Daniel had to trust the Lord. He had faith to believe that God could help him with his problem. Now, what was our first virtue? Conviction. But Daniel lived what he believed. Secondly, Daniel had respect. That's the second word. Respect for authority over him. Thirdly, Daniel had faith to believe that God could help him out with the problem that he faced. Because you see, his problem was a result of his conviction. And so because he wanted to obey God, he could trust God to help him out. And so he said, listen, sir, why don't we try this particular option or this particular plan that I have? And in 10 days, you look at us. Now, you can imagine the type of food that all these people were eating. Like going down to Bonanza or something, getting a big steak, baked potato. You can smell it now, you know. Just the best food possible. And here's Daniel eating split pea soup. Huh? It wasn't too attractive. But it was something that was good for his body. Not only was he trusting God, but he was taking care of himself. Now what happened at the end of 10 days? Let's read in verse 15. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guards took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. God honored their faith. Now, what is faith? Some people think faith is just making up some great big plan blindly and going out and doing it. That's faith. But I don't really believe that faith is like that. Faith is obeying what you know. Faith is obeying what you know because you know the person that has commanded you to do something. Faith is obedience to what you know. Boys and girls, when you obey your parents, when you obey your teachers, you're living by faith. Okay? You're trusting in the Lord to help you. Now let's go back and remember our first word again. What's our first word? Conviction. And conviction means to live what we know is right. What's our second word? Respect. Respect means to look up to and be obedient to the authority that God has given us. Thirdly, What was Daniel? A young boy of faith. To believe that God could help him with his problem. In the new situation in which he lived, under the pressures that he faced, to be like the people, when he knew he shouldn't be like them. He had faith. And so after his test, you know what they did? They went to school. They were to study for 3 years in preparation for serving King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. He was the greatest king in the world at that time. And he had chosen these young men especially to serve him as statesmen, as men who understood their language and culture and sciences. And it says here, as we read on in verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Okay? They had a pretty tough school to go through. To understand dreams and visions. To learn all about literature and languages and sciences. And they studied for 3 years. Now you know at the end of 3 years what was going to happen to them? They were going to take a test. How many like tests? You did great. You did. That's fantastic. All right. You want a test? Okay. You have to take an exam. It's kind of like the high school students. At the end of their senior year, they take a test called the SAT. It's an accumulative test of all the things which they knew by that time. Okay? So Daniel and these three boys and all the other ones that came were to take a test. Now you know, it's tough to sit down and write a test. But you know what's harder than a written test? Is an oral test. Is when the teacher says, all right, come up to the front of the class, and I want to ask you the questions, and you have to answer them to me. You know, you can't erase that kind of an answer and change it. Whatever you say is the answer. And so Daniel and all these boys were going to have to stand before the king. And they were going to have to answer the questions that the king gave them. In verse 18, we read, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. They got up and took their test, and the king saw that these four young men were smarter, more well prepared than any of the other young men who had come to Babylon from Judah. How come? Well, our fourth word is the word faithful. Our third word was faith to believe that God could help them. Our fourth word is faithful. You know, during those 3 years, I bet you those guys studied really hard. They worked very hard at doing the things that were assigned to them. Fulfilling what their teachers gave them to do, their assignment. They were faithful to the abilities that God had given them. So that when the time came to share what they knew, they did their very best. They didn't wait till the night before and cram. Or they didn't wait till the night before and make a promise to God that if God helped them out, then they'd really be off from then on and obey God from then on. No. They worked hard all through those 3 years. And at the end, they were the most outstanding of all. But I believe that their faithfulness was also based on those first 3 words that we talked about. What were they again? Conviction. God honored these boys because they stood up for what was right. Secondly, they respected the authority that God had given them. And thirdly, they had faith. to believe that God could help them in their schoolwork, in the hard lessons that they had to learn. And then our fourth word is the word faithful, to the abilities that God has given them. Now let me read another verse here at the end of that chapter. In verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. You know what? Daniel and his three friends were even smarter than all the old men. How'd you like guys like to be smarter than the old men? Yeah. Huh? They were. 10 times smarter. How can you be 10 times smarter than somebody else? I don't know. But they were. God blessed them. And you know when they started? They started when they were young. In listening to what they had been taught by their parents, by the teachers in Israel. They knew what they believed, and God blessed them for it. God didn't bless them because they were loyal young men, or good-looking young men, or talented young men. Everybody who was chosen to go to Babylon was the same, or were the same. But these four men came out on top because of the fact that they were young boys of conviction, young boys of respect, young boys who had faith to believe that God could help them in every situation, and young boys who were faithful to the abilities and responsibilities that God had given them. And they became the great men who served in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God wants each one of us to be outstanding young men and women of God. When do you start doing that? Right now. There's a time of training. There's a time of learning that each one of us has to go through. Now, we wanted to look at another young man this morning, but we don't have time. He is David. Another young man who had these same characteristics in his life. Okay? We like to look at the lives of other people and see how God used them. And as we learn in Sunday school kids, children, as we learn in our homes through devotions, let's look at the lives of other people and learn from them and put into practice the things that we see. And I trust that each one of us, who are older, will be the examples that these young kids need. Not just standing up and teaching, but in living out the principles in God's Word, so that they have the models to follow. And I trust that these particular principles will also be a challenge to us in areas where we work. Now the thing I'd like to say in closing is this, that Daniel and Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach, each were able to fulfill this or to experience this because they believed in God. You know, boys and girls, the first thing that we must do is to trust Jesus as our personal Savior. If we're going to live a life of conviction for Him, if we're going to have the right kind of respect, if we're going to have faith to believe God that He can help us, if we're going to be faithful to the abilities that He has given us, first of all, we have to have Jesus in our heart. So it's so important for us to, first of all, have that relationship with the Lord. In closing, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes and talk to the Lord again. And let's be quiet and not have any talking.